You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Welcome to part two of The Way to Go. It's a series we started last week, and there's one more week of it after today. Third part next week. You know, we started off this year with this scripture from Isaiah 30, verse 21. Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. Isn't it so good that the Bible clearly shows us that God wants to speak to us, wants to help direct us to navigate and orientate in the way that he would have us to go. You know, we're all in different places and spaces on our journey in following Jesus. You know, maybe you're someone who finds it really easy to hear from God and action his direction. We love you. We love you if you're that person. It's hard for us to love you, but we love you. You know, maybe you're someone who you hear easily, but struggle to execute his direction. Maybe hearing from God is something new for you, but you're open to him and you want to learn. That's a good thing, amen? Maybe hearing from God is a foreign concept, a foreign language even. Maybe in the past you're in a space where the idea of the Holy Spirit speaking to you and revealing God's heart was taboo or discouraged. So to hear scriptures and hear your church now encouraging you to hear God's heart through the scriptures and that the gifts of the Spirit would be activated in your life, maybe it's a little daunting because of that. Maybe you feel a level of guilt connected to those opinions that were spoken over you and taught to you, and you were discouraged from hearing God. It's like, oh, I struggle with that because of those things. I want to tell you today that God speaks to his beloved. You're his beloved, sons and daughters, and God speaks to his beloved. God loves to communicate with his sons and daughters, amen? God is a God who wants to connect with his people. God's heart towards each and every single one of us, he wants his best for us. Not our best, not somebody else's best. He has a perfect will and perfect best for each and every single one of us. He believes in us, wants us to be guided and directed and comforted on our journey as the Holy Spirit ministers to us. Now, I just want to spend some time today getting acquainted deeply with the scriptures that affirms that God loves us and speaks to us and communicates with us and connects with us and believes for us and guides us and comforts his people. Who wants to be connected deeply and acquainted to those scriptures? I know that I do. So I say all of that to come to this. Regardless of your pathway to this point, regardless of your former understandings, today is a new day. God is a good God and he wants you to lay hold of everything that he has for you. Amen? Can you take that in this morning? Good. Let's move on. Let's just have coffees. Amen. Now, if you can start from this place today, what happens by the end of this service is you walk out with a new pep in your step. That's not because someone's been charismatic. It's because the Holy Spirit has ministered deeply to you. Amen. That's the God that I love. I just want to read the scripture again. Isaiah 30, 21. Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. You know, I know that when I hear scriptures like this, but when I hear this scripture, it sparks a level of hope and joy in me. I don't know if it does that for you, but I'm praying that by the time we finish this year, that this scripture sparks levels of joy and hope in you. That a God cares so much for me that he will help guide and direct my paths. I'm not alone in this world. God wants to speak clearly. But there are still moments where I find myself stopping and asking, am I still orientated in the right direction? I know that God speaks to me. I know that I hear him. But every now and then I make myself pause and stop and say, am I still? He said this, but did I get confused? Did I get distracted? Did I? What's that movie, Up? The dog's like the squirrel. So it's like, did I have too many squirrel moments and get distracted by the things around me? And I say this for a reason. It's a good thing to be aware of your relationship with God. It's a good thing to be aware of, am I still orientated in the direction that he spoke to me? Am I still facing towards mission? Am I still facing towards reconciliation with family members? Am I still putting myself in a place where the Spirit of God can minister fullness and wholeness to me? It's pretty easy to become disorientated. You know, making sure that the issues of life haven't disorientated, the issues of life haven't clouded you and clothed you and blinded you and confused you. We all have seasons. We all have seasons. Well, I'll talk a little bit more about seasons as we go on. But some of those distractions and disorientations are from outside interference. Some of those things are from spiritual attack. Some of those things, I'm slowing down because I'm getting to the point where you're like, well, I don't like that. I don't like that. Some of those things are from the journey that God would take us on. He wants to develop and hone our character, and those things aren't easy. They're not all rainbows and donuts. But some of those things are self-inflicted. Choices, decisions, actioning things that actually wasn't a directive from God. It was a directive from our own heart. It's like, I want this. I need to go that way. I'm going to go buy that couch even though I don't have the money for it. Self-inflicted things that cause weight and pressure on our lives. See, the journey of terrible decisions, the journey of hardened hearts takes us all off down a path that opposes God's perfect will for our lives. But I want to encourage you, all is not lost. There is a way back from decisions. There is a way to actually make those things right. There is a way to come back before God and maybe your wife if you bought a car that you didn't ask her about. Like, there's a way. I've never done that, by the way. Maybe not with a car anyway. There is a way back from those things to come face to face with God or the people around you that you need to actually talk to. And actually make those things right. Amen? You hear where I'm coming from this morning? I just want to share some biblical truths today that will help you start, grow, mature in your hearing from God, depending on where you are in that journey. You may have been a Christian for a minute. You may be in a Christian for a lifetime. I want to say this. Time has very little bearing on hearing God's voice. You've been a Christian for a minute or a Christian for a lifetime. If you've been a Christian for a minute and you put yourself in a place where God can speak to you, you will learn to hear his voice. If you've been a Christian for 25 years, but you haven't put yourself in a place where you can hear his voice, you're probably not going to hear his voice. It's got nothing to do with time. It's got to do with positioning, where we place ourselves to hear his voice. There are some things that outweigh time when it comes to hearing the voice of God. For example, if you struggle to implement God's truths and actions in your life, a Christian of 6 months may hear clearer than a Christian of 50 years. I'm sharing this today to help bring some breakthrough for you. Maybe you've been in this place, I've been a Christian for a long time and I used to hear him clearly and I just don't anymore. Let's position ourselves in the place that we used to. We used to position ourselves in that quiet place. We used to position ourselves at the altar during worship. But I just got out of the habit. It's time to re-engage with the position. A Christian of a minute, a Christian of 50 years, we still need to position ourselves before God, whether it's in worship, in prayer, in fellowship, around the word, whatever it is, it's something that we all need to keep doing. Amen? Amen. It helps bring clarity to our walk. It's the implementation of God's truths. It's you choosing actions over comfort. Amen? So I just want to, let's dispel some myths. Let's humble ourselves. Let's pursue all that God has for us. Now you may have exercised the following thoughts at some stage in your life. Am I going the right way? Hang on, what? There's a right way? Nobody told me that there was a right way. Maybe thoughts like, how do I know what the right way is? How do I know if I'm going the right way? Does God have an ultimate right way for my life? This is the first I've heard of that there's a right way for me to actually go. Maybe even thoughts like, can there be more than one way that I go? Obviously, these are just to name a couple of different thoughts, but I hope that my thoughts have started some questions and thoughts that are real for you. Things that are maybe have niggled back there, thoughts around, am I doing what God's called me to? Am I in the right workplace? Am I fathering well enough? Am I mothering well enough? Am I encouraging the people around me enough? These thoughts that we come in and sometimes we hear those thoughts and we go, oh, Satan, stop talking to me. So, now, if it's an accusing tone, Satan, leave me alone. Take a run in Jesus' name. But when it's not accusing, when it's healthy thoughts, it's a healthy thoughts. Am I on the path that God called me on? Is this the right way for my relationship? Is this the right way for us as a family? Am I encouraging the people around me well enough? Because that should be all part of our path that God leads us on. It's a good thing to have those dialogues. I want us to start with this scripture, 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was His plan from before the beginning of time, to show us His grace through Christ Jesus. I just want to encourage us when we see that word, to live a holy life, that word holy, sacred, consecrated, sanctified, divine, blessed, dedicated, set apart. This is the holy life that He's called us to live. We're set apart for Him. So the question, let's put it out there, is there a right way to go? Yes. Yes, there is a right way to go. Absolutely there is. You know, the way that He's called us to go is to live a holy life. Yes, there is a right way for us to go. He has saved us, redeemed us, called us to live a holy life. Is there a right way to go? This scripture tells me that God saved me, God called me, not just to do what I please, not just to be self-serving, not just to do things for other people, but to live a holy life, a set apart, sanctified, consecrated, blessed, holy life. That's the life that God has called me to live. This is not my interpretation. This is what the scripture says over our lives. He saves us, calls us to live a certain way, a holy way, not a self-holiness, but made holy by Jesus and empowered by His Spirit to do so. Not in our own ability, in our own strength, but in the Spirit of Christ. Another question, how do I know if God is speaking to me and if I'm going the right way? I say this so simply this morning. Again, we're dispelling myths. We're not making life more difficult this morning. God will only ever speak to you and direct you towards your holy calling. Only ever speak to you and direct you towards your holy calling. And maybe that brings up some other questions about, well, what is my holy calling? We're going to get into that. Because let's break it down. It's one thing for me to say it, but how do I action this? How do I execute this in my life? I'll break in for a moment into my notes. When we talk about holy calling, I'll tell you what holy calling isn't. Holy calling isn't stepping into things that cause you to sin more. Holy calling isn't stepping back into things that used to be a struggle of sin in your life. It will only ever be holy, blessed, sanctified, set apart type things. Does that mean that I can't be friends with my people, that the people that I was friends with before saved? It doesn't mean that at all. In fact, what it means is be full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Know that you're called and set apart to actually speak Jesus and his salvation and restoration and redemption into those people's lives. It doesn't mean separate and set apart from being friends with them anymore. It doesn't mean that. So, holy calling. Let's just simplify it around the scriptures, amen? What are the commands that Jesus gave us? Simple. Love God. Love others as you love yourself. Simple. If you can step into those things of learning to love God wholly, not on Sundays, learning to love God across the board in your week. If you can learn to love yourself. Ooh. I can love God. God's awesome. Myself. That's a bit of an ask. If you only saw the way that I sneered at my boss this week. I kind of hate myself for doing it, but he deserved it. He deserved it. If you only knew what he asked me to do. He asked me to not play games at my computer anymore. I mean, who does he think he is? My boss or something? If you could only learn to love yourself, how do we do that? Well, there are some things in us that make us not love ourselves. Could be inflicted by others, could be self-inflicted, but ultimately it's left a scar, a wound. It maybe started with a hurt, turned into some anger, turned into some fear, turned into some bitterness, turned into some wrath, depending on how far you are on the journey. Can I just encourage you? Position yourself before God. Position yourself at an altar call where pastors and leaders can pray for you. Position yourselves in counseling. Position yourselves in their emotionally healthy spirituality course. Position yourself for baptism. How good were baptisms last week, by the way? Amen. Wow, powerful, powerful, powerful. Position yourselves so that God can actually begin to take those things out, because it's only when those things are removed that you can love yourself. See, the measure of which you can love yourself with is the true measure of which you can love somebody else with. You can say all the right things to people and it sounds like love, but it could be something else entirely. It could just be being nice to people. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's good to be nice to people, but wouldn't it be so much more precious? Wouldn't it be so much more powerful if we could love somebody else, because that's the same mechanism that we love ourselves with? Because we've loved him, he loves us, our response is to him, and his love transmits to us, and then the love that's held here just has to be like one of those moments. I just gotta pass it on to somebody else. I just gotta pass it on to somebody else. Sure, the people at the back can get annoyed with me because I'm going off my notes this morning. Love God, love others as we love ourselves. Giving my best to those around me in all the seasons of my life. How do I do that? There has to be more internal transformation in our hearts and our minds. Amen? The spring seasons when everything is new, alive and wondrous. I'm going to give the best to people around me. The summer when the heat feels awesome, and then the heat of life tends to dry me out a bit, and I find myself that I need to get closer to the water, and Started getting a little bit delirious. I can't be near the water. I need to be in the water because it's only when I'm in the water that I'm going to be refreshed. And I need to take some water in so that I can truly be refreshed in all seasons, positioning ourselves where we need to be so that we can give out what we need to give out. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because if I don't position myself in the water, I'm not going to be cooled down. If I don't have some water, I'm going to dry out real quick and I'm going to look like one of those shriveled things in a desert. I'm going to look like one of those heads of a cattle just with sand just blowing over the top of it. I need to position myself so that I don't dry out and start giving out dry things to people around me. When dry things are given out, it comes across harsh. It weathers people around you as well because it's cutting. I need to be in the water and I need to... The summer season, it's an awesome season. But I need to position myself accordingly so that I can actually function in it for that amount of time. Amen? Spirit needs to be fresh. There's no need to camp in the desert in summer. Do we need to go through desert times? Yes, there are moments when we need to go through desert times because it does strengthen us. It strengthens our character. But only if we're removing ourselves from the desert to be refreshed by the Spirit of God. See, summer, it's still wondrous, it's still amazing. It just depends on what you're looking at and where you're looking at it from. In the river, taking in the river, or in a salt pan, amen? What about the autumn, when you feel like you're losing your hair, just like the trees lose their leaves? No, maybe that's just me. No. See, autumn, it's this time of shedding last season's leaves, getting rid of fruit and being prepared to be trimmed back. It's a beautiful time. We see the trees, they look so beautiful, but they're last season's leaves. And we can't take those leaves into the next season, otherwise the new leaves can't actually grow. This time of shedding things away. Seasons are important. Don't lament at the season that you're in. It's still an important season. It may be a challenging season. You feel like you're losing everything, but you're making way for the new things that God wants to grow and gift into your life. He may even begin to get you ready to do some pruning. It's part of the next season. The winter, a time of being trimmed early in preparation for the growing season. It's like you go into this moment of, it's a pause moment. Still active, still alive, but a pause moment. It's a time of preparation for growth. Regardless of the season, we're still committed to the mission. We're still forward-facing to the commission that Jesus gave us. But being aware of, how do I know if God's speaking to me? Your seasons will look like actual seasons. I need to hear from God so I can navigate where I am in this season. So I can still orientate towards God. I'm sorry, what was that? Is that rightly? You're telling me that the season I'm in right now, is God's actually moving in it. Yes, I am. But this is the worst year I've had in my life. God's still moving in it. God's still using it. Maybe it's a moment of pause and saying, hey God, if this is your season, am I actually facing towards a place that you've turned me in this season? Or have I gotten a little bit distracted by how crazy and rubbish this season feels? Face towards your summer, face towards your autumn, face towards your winter, face towards your spring. Regardless of what it is, it's a gift from God. Yeah. It is making you into the person that He has called you to be, to the very best and perfect will for you. I just want to take a moment to prove to you, to prove that God, through Jesus, empowers you to live this holy calling and follow the way that He calls you to go. Let's look at the scripture. See, this scripture, it heals us. It's a time where maybe there can be uneasiness, but these scriptures heal us. It's a time of stepping into the power that God has for us. Romans 8, starting at verse 12, says this: "Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do." So did you hear that? You have no obligation. It doesn't hold anything over your life anymore. There is zero obligation for you to keep stepping back towards those things. "For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received a spirit, God's Spirit, when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children." We're going to talk about that for a bit. "And since we're his children, we're his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory." Hello? Did somebody say inheritance? Whew. Heirs of God's glory. Forget money. Forget riches. Heirs of God's glory. That's what we inherit. Wow. Wow. "But if we share in his glory..." Oh, hang on a second. "But if we were to share in his glory, we must all share in his suffering." Seasons. Seasons, carrying our cross through seasons. Amen. Affirm. Where does your affirmation come from? My affirmation. This is where my affirmation comes from. God's Spirit joins with my spirit to affirm who I am and whose I am. Who I am and whose I am. I'm a son. I'm a son of God. Where does your affirmation come from? Your affirmation. God's Spirit joins with your spirit to affirm who you are and whose you are. You're his sons, daughters, affirmed through Jesus Christ. Everything else you look to pales in significance to the affirmation that comes from your inheritance found in and through Jesus. So this morning, can I encourage you? We turn our eyes, we incline our ears, we turn our attention to our beloved Father with hope and confidence brimming in our hearts, that he whispers these sweet words of loving affirmation into our hearts. "You are mine and I am yours, my child." Just let it sink in for a moment. Let it sink in for a moment. This Christian faith is not about rituals and rites, and it's about this. This spiritual transaction that happens at salvation and keeps happening after salvation, if you would put yourself in a place where he can continue to minister power and fullness and wholeness to you. Amen. We no longer search for affirmation in things or people. Maybe you do. Maybe it's time to actually acknowledge where your affirmation comes from. Beloved Father, it speaks to closeness and confidence and trust. That is what you can carry with you as you step into everything that he has for you. This passage of scripture that we've just read out was given to the Apostle Paul from God. And you know, the following passage of scripture that I'm going to read was from Jesus. And I believe that it's going to show you just how much that God wants to speak to you and help you and guide you and direct you in the way to go. In John 16:13, it says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." He will guide you into all truth. You know, the thing about being guided, it requires something. The person who's being guided has to put themselves in a place where they're humble enough to say, "Hey, guide, you know a bit more about this than me right now. and I surrender my ambition and I surrender my thoughts to actually follow your lead on this. I'm going to be assertive. I'm going to be passionate. I'm not talking about just being like mindless clones, right? I will be passionate. I will be assertive. But my lead comes from the Holy Spirit who has been given to guide me into all truth. You know, I guarantee you that if you're climbing Everest, the Sherpa that guides you, in that moment of limited breath, in that moment of limited oxygen, I'm pretty sure that being humble isn't going to be a problem, amen? Can I encourage you? Can we go back to that passage of Scripture in Romans 8, starting at verse 12 again? You know, when we look at this Scripture, you have no obligation to the old life. Zero obligation to the old life. None at all. See, God's Spirit has been given to you, and you can put those things to death because of God's Spirit that dwells within you. Here's the thing. If you allow yourself to guide you, it will only ever lead you back to those things that you used to once cherish in your heart. We have to. This is the thing. As a church pastor, as someone who leads you, I will never tell you what you should do. I will sit down and share the Scriptures with you. I will say this is what God says is our best for our life. This is what the Scriptures tell us we should commit to. I know that you've been struggling with this in your life. Let's pray through that. Now, through the power of the Holy Spirit that's been placed within you, what decision are you going to make? No judgment from me at all. Do I want you to make the greatest decision in the world? Of course, I want you to make the greatest decision for your life. God's power empowers you to do it. But we as individuals, we are the only ones that can put our foot down on that. We're the only ones who can follow Jesus into everything that he has for our life. Amen? I'm not sure why I'm going off my notes so much this morning, but God obviously needs to say something to some people. Amen? John 16:13. When the Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. Because so often in this world, I know it's true, people will go and see anybody who says, I can read your future, I can connect to people in your past, you want to know what to do next in your job? Come and let me flip some cards over. I'll tell you. Now, I have no doubt that some of those people that flip cards over are so connected to the dark spiritual realm that they are literally moving it. Some other people are just like, I picked up some cards and I'm going to flip them. Oh, death is coming to you. Say what? Do not put yourself under the power of those things. You've been released from the power of those things. The Spirit of God dwells within you. You want to know what the future holds for you? You want to know what your next step's meant to be? The Spirit has been sent by Jesus himself to guide you, and he will tell you about your future as God reveals it to him. Will he tell you that you're going to be like the next prime minister? If you're called to be, he might tell, but it's not going to be like right now. You're going to go through some stuff. You're going to be prime minister. You need to go to law school because it seems like all the prime ministers are lawyers. Look, whatever it is that you need to put in place for the next season of your life, he will tell you what the next thing is so you can step into the next season. Next thing, next season. Next thing, next season. It requires you to activate now for the next season. Forget about 2 years' time. Is it good to have goals? Yes, it's good to have goals. So the goal might be, I hope in 5 years that we have our first house. Okay, what do I need to do today to actually begin to work towards those things? Because if you wake up, you know, I'm just hoping I'm just hoping that I have a house in 5 years. 3 weeks ago, Lord, still hoping. You haven't done anything. You need to activate what He's spoken. If you believe that He's spoken to you, that your family is going to own a house, we need to do something. Now, that may mean that you need to do a money course. That may mean that you need to learn to handle your finances. That may mean that you need to do some study so that you can get into a job that brings in some money to actually make a way for that. You may need to learn what it means to be a good steward of the finances that God gives you. What do I do with that? How do I use that? Do I have squirrel moments as I walk through the shop and just... Stewardship, it's so important. I can see the finance people in the room chuckling to themselves. You know, I'm just putting it out there in the future that we are going to be running some money courses through the church. It's something that we've been trying to find a way to make it happen. And someone spoke to me again this morning about something that I truly believe that it's the Holy Spirit speaking to me that He will tell you about the future. And it's steps beyond where I thought we would actually be moving towards, but we need to activate some things right now. So we'll be doing a money course. Yes, we will be doing a money course. And if you don't know how to handle finances, there is no shame in that. You just haven't been taught yet. Something that we all have to learn, because you don't get taught at school. And if your parents are good with budgeting, you're not learning it at home either. And you see your other friends getting new this and new that, and they cut up their credit card, but they're still getting new this and still getting new that. It's because of the stewardship principles, tithing principle that's activated in their life. He will guide you. He will direct you. He will tell you about the future so that you can orientate yourself in the correct direction, so that you can make great decisions that focus you on everything that He has for you, to allow you to leave behind old thinking and old patterns and old strongholds. In fact, He's going to annihilate those things so that you can step into only the new things that He has for you. He guides you towards all of God's truth for your life. You know, in 2 Timothy 1:9, God calls us to this holy life. It's not something it's like you get up every morning, it's like, oh, I just want to be guided and directed. No, God has called you. There is a position of power and strength that He's called you to walk in. And I understand some days we get out of bed and we feel like just doing those ones. It's like you've done some lunges and some stairs and it's, oh, Lord, help me. Jesus, if you're thinking about coming back today, it's okay. You can come back today. You are called, empowered to live this holy life. Why did He do it? Because He wanted to show us His grace. Not to hear about it, to show us His grace through Jesus. Three things. I'll move through these quickly. Three things when you're talking about how do I know what this holy life is? How do I know that I'm called to this? Three things that I know out of this scripture. If you go and read these scriptures against these three things that I'm telling you, you'll be like, okay, this is good and true and biblical. This is an opinion. This is the Bible. Point number one, your life has purpose. Your life has purpose. In fact, when you look at that scripture, God saved you and called you to live a holy life. Your life has purpose. Every Christian, including you, has the assurance that their life has purpose and meaning. How? We're called to live a holy life because we've been saved and called through Jesus. What is calling? To follow Christ. What's our calling? Yes. To follow Christ. Don't confuse it with, it's like, am I called to be a tenor or an alto? Your voice will tell you whether you're called to be a tenor or an alto or a noto. Like what? Whether you're called to sing or not, your voice will tell you. You don't need a holy calling to tell you that. Your holy calling tells you, I'm called to follow Jesus. First and foremost, that's the first part of our call. To live a life for Christ is the second part of our call. The third part of our call is to make Him known, which leads me to point number two in a second. See, each day we're called to set out a life that lives purpose. We're called to set out on a life that is called for purpose. It's encouraging, isn't it? That that God has called us and set us apart for that. This, it's not our own efforts. It's about surrendering ourselves, leaving behind the old self, as I said earlier. You know, when we strive to be holy, it decays into legalism eventually. It's like, do this, don't do this. Hey, you don't do this. Hey, but I saw you do that last week. Yeah, but I repented. But I saw you do it again yesterday. Yeah, but I... It decays into this legalistic don't, hey you should stop doing it. The Holy Spirit leads us into truth. The Holy Spirit speaks to us about those things. Not only does it decay into legalism, but it points us into this self-righteousness mode where we hold ourselves righteous and then we have to hold other people righteous. No one in this church does that, amen, because we're filled by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're on that journey. Maybe we do it sometimes. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us and guiding us and directing us, and we're stepping into everything that God has for us. When we submit to the Lord and ask Him to guide us, when we walk in Him and we're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, this is a truth for us. We have purpose. Second one, make Jesus known. The second part of our holy calling, to make Him known. Make Jesus known to those who don't know Him yet. You know, Jesus in His commission empowers us to share the gospel with those who don't know Him, and He wants to remind them that He is their loving Redeemer, and He uses us to make that known to people. God called us to do this in a loving and prayerful way. Why? Because it allows for the Holy Spirit to bring change as people respond to God and His goodness. And the third thing this morning is, it's God's grace. It's God's grace that empowers us to walk in this holy calling. It's okay to understand that you were called with a holy calling. It's like, I can tell that Yvette's called with a holy calling. It's obvious. When she got up and gave a testimony, I just wanted to get saved again. Like, it's obvious. It's obvious that there's a holy calling, but I don't see that in my life. What you see is probably based on feelings. And our feelings are so, so deceptive. So, so confusing to anyone who struggles with thoughts and feelings. Can I encourage you? The Word of God says that God saved you and called you with a holy calling. Although you may not see it yet, it is there. And as you action these things, it will become more evident. What does your holy calling look like? We'll talk about that towards the end. Because it's more simple than what you think it could be. It's more simple than what you think it could be. You don't need to impress people. You don't need to find affirmation in anyone anymore. It's God's grace. Now, if you have struggles around self-worth and looking for affirmation in others or even other things, I just want to encourage you that most humans at some point in their life have this overwhelming need and feeling to impress and be accepted and loved and find a place to belong. We find that in Jesus. Affirmation. Now, if you're struggling with that, don't feel the guilt and shame. Depending on what happened when you were younger, adolescent years, young adult years, adult, married, unmarried, divorced, all those things speak to us about who we think we are. And sometimes it undermines our self-worth. It's time to come back to the Spirit of God. Called you, saved you, empowered you for a holy calling. Amen? God's a good God and He loves us so fervently and deeply. You know, the Scripture is living and it breathes life into our bones, into our spirit, into our body. Let me even go as far as saying this, that God loves you so much that His Word, the Word of God, actually says to you, this is the way that you should go. The word, Isaiah 30:21, the Word says, I will speak to you and tell you, this is the way that you should go. He's speaking clearly today to you about who you're called to be and what you're called to be and who you are. I just want to encourage you. If you don't know Jesus personally yet, and maybe this is a foreign thing for you, this is what He has for you. for you to know him and be known by him, to be loved and affirmed, to know exactly who you are, to know that you have a holy calling that and that he has it for you and he wants you to join him in it. Just as the keys comes this morning, when God speaks to you and tells you the way to go, he releases you into your unique lane. Each of us have a unique call, a unique lane that we're called to walk in. And he will only ever release you into his perfect will. It's our personal choice to make the decision to follow Jesus and be guided by the Holy Spirit in that. How does God speak to you? In varied ways. Through the Bible, prayer time, worship, gifts of the Spirit, through ministry gifts, personally, corporately. Probably there's other things as well, right? We could get those things and create sub-layers to that. But for time's sake, it could look like God getting your attention. Maybe getting your attention like a big encounter, like the Apostle Paul. God's light shining from the sky. God speaking to you about what your call is specifically. It's like someone has to come to you and pray for you, and your eyes, you can see again. Maybe it's something like huge like that. Maybe it could look like the woman at the well. And Jesus comes to you and offers you water and so that you'll never hunger or thirst for anything or anyone ever again, because your forgiveness and forgiveness of sins and affirmation is found in Jesus, a Savior. Maybe it could look like Zacchaeus clamoring to see Jesus from a tree, and Jesus captures your gaze and he meets you, and you catch a revelation of how much he loves you in that moment. It's just like, I'm coming to your house. In fact, I want to come and dwell in your house. In fact, I want to come and dwell in your heart. That's how much I love you. This revelation of his love. It could be a coffee time after a service. It could be in a small group, at a connect group. It could be a chance interaction in a pastoral appointment where God initiates this moment of speaking to you. I'm speaking so clearly. It could be in a baptism moment where you come out of the water and it's like, this is my son, this is my daughter in whom I'm well pleased. Presence of God, God speaking to you about the promises that he has for you. The one thing that I can be sure about is this. He will find you and he will speak to you. He will facilitate the spaces and the moments for you. All you need to do is respond, put yourself in a place of action and go through with the direction that he's actually called you to be on. I just want to affirm to you today that he's your calling and your purpose. I want to affirm that you have a calling and you have purpose. It says in Ephesians 10 that we're his workmanship and he's created us in Jesus for good works, which is prepared beforehand that we could walk in them. That we could walk in them, amen. Now, just as we come towards the end this morning, as the team comes, am I going the right way? Maybe it's a thought that some of you have had for this last week. Am I going the right way? Am I hearing God's voice? Are you following Jesus? Are you leaving behind your old life and stepping into God's holy calling for your life? Are you in love with Jesus so much that you have this overwhelming need to love yourself with that same love so it overflows onto others? Are you positioning yourself for an encounter with God? Are you seeing people through God's lens? I just want to encourage you today that there is a moment for you this morning to position yourself before God. It's like, I just want God to speak to me afresh. I'm not out of his will. I'm not running down the road. Maybe you are. Maybe there's facets in the road. That's okay. We're all on different journeys. But God's love for us remains the same. He saved us and called us with a holy calling. And this morning, regardless of where you are, God just wants to speak to you, wants to affirm you, wants to encourage you to keep pursuing and step back in. And maybe he's going to speak to you and he's just going to turn you 1 or 2 degrees to the left or the right. And just go, this is the exact place I've called you to be. Holy Spirit, I just even pray even at the moment you just begin speaking to people's hearts, calling their hearts, minister to their hearts. You've called them to be in certain places and spaces, Father God. It's part of their holy calling to follow you, to make you known to others. But the places and spaces are part of a holy calling. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. God, I pray that the doors that you're opening for people, that they fling wide open. The doors that you're closing, they close shut. Holy Spirit, give us eyes to see and ears to hear as the doors open and the doors close and the seasons come and the seasons go. Holy Spirit. Oh God, I just pray over you this morning. I pray over your people, God. Holy Spirit, each of us called with a holy calling. Each of us called to have humble hearts and teachable spirits and be passionate and power-filled for the call that you've called us on, Father God. And God, I pray that we have one calling, Father God, one holy calling, but you've called us to multiple spaces. And God, I pray that as we make Jesus known and we're in our workplaces and we're in our church and we're in our community and we're in our teams and we're in our schools and we're in our universities and as we operate in those government spaces and we operate in business, wherever you've called us to operate, Father God, in the spaces and the sectors that you called us to operate in, Father God, we just want to make you known, Father God, whether it's in our words, our actions, or our deeds, we just want to make you know how loving you are, how gracious you are, how powerful you are to redeem, Father. Holy Spirit. I'm just going to ask us all to stand for a moment. What is this out of the norm? Just if everybody can stand to their feet for a moment. Holy Spirit. God, I pray for each and every single person right now, just as you close your eyes and lift your hands to God this morning, if you feel comfortable to do so. God, I just pray that as people from this moment, as they head out into their week, as they head out into the spaces and the places and the sectors that you've called us to be in, Father God, oh Lord, we leave this place knowing that we have one holy calling, but we're also called to multiple spaces. One calling, multiple spaces. And I pray that it's a prophetic declaration over each and every single heart. A prophetic declaration over each and every single person. One holy calling, multiple spaces. Wherever your feet tread, one holy calling, multiple spaces. You're called to tread there. You're called to go into your workplace. You're called to go into your local sporting club. You're called to go back to the sporting club that you were once part of. You may not play anymore, but you're called to minister and serve the community, serve the suburb that you used to be part of. Holy Spirit, let this spark in people's hearts. Let this spark in people's hearts. One holy calling, multiple spaces. A prophetic declaration over your life that you are called to head into multiple spaces. You are called to head into multiple spaces. No, we're not talking about overloading yourself. Rest in the Holy Spirit, but you are called to those spaces in the pace that God calls you to be in those places in. Holy Spirit, Lord God, with every eye closed for this moment, here if you're in this place this morning or watching online, you don't know Jesus, you don't know what it is to be saved, you don't know what it is to know Him personally, have a relationship with God, I just want to give the opportunity today that God loves you so much, that God loves you so much that He sent Jesus to die on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. And if that's you, just where you're you are this morning, if you're watching online this morning, I'm just going to do something so simple this morning. Say, I want to know Jesus. I want to know his forgiveness. I want to be saved and called and step into the holy calling that God has for me. If that's you in the room, watching online today or at a later date, can I encourage you, say this prayer after me this morning. It's a prayer of inviting Jesus into your heart. Why don't we pray? Church, let's join in. Lord Jesus, I thank you that God sent you to die on a cross, be buried, and rise again. I believe that's what's happened. I confess it with my mouth, and I believe it with my heart. I surrender my life. From this day on, I choose to follow you. I'm actioning my steps. I repent of my sins, and I know I'm forgiven. The old life is gone, and the new life is what is now. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Greatest prayer you can ever pray. If you prayed it for the first time, can I encourage you on the way out? There's going to be some people at the door with a little booklet for you and a Bible if you don't have one. But this is what I'd love to do. If you made the decision in the room or online, I just want us to celebrate. I just want us to celebrate the fact that you've responded to God. So can we put our hands together for a moment? God, we thank you, Father God. We thank you, Jesus. Awesome.